from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
704 brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. It's the day before Major League Baseball's trade deadline, and a lot of players have moved. The Pirates, well, they've been quiet. Is Ben Cherington sitting on his hands, or is Ben Cherington, is he ready to pounce? We'll find out. But so far, no good, and Pirates fans are frustrated. But I posted a picture on Twitter.com, @_AdamCrowell, and you can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, of Ben Cherington. And I said, please make a trade, Ben. And a bunch of the comments weren't critical of Ben Cherington. They were critical of Bob Nutting. Oh, Nutting won't let Cherington make a trade. Nutting's not going to let this team add payroll. And while I do think there's a lot of room to criticize Pirates ownership, I don't think it's fair to do it now. I think most of this is on Ben Cherington. And the reason I think that is because we saw Neil Huntington make deadline moves. He made the Chris Archer move. He got Marlon Byrd. He got Justin Morneau. He got Jay Happ. He got Ludwig. He got Derek Lee. He got Wandy Rodriguez. Anytime that the Pirates were contenders from 11 until 15, he was going out and making moves. You know who the owner was then? Still Bob Nutting. So I put this on Ben Cherington because a lot of people seem to think, well, he's not going to be able to add salary. Well, Jesse Winker cost $991,000.
Right.
He's not expensive.
Right.
Randy Arozarena or Arena. Not expensive.
Right. Rooker, as you just said.
Not expensive at all.
Jazz Chisholm?
Not expensive.
That's where I'm at.
Right?
Yes. Is that you rattled off in the last hour the salaries of these players, and I think the highest was maybe $2.8 million.
Yeah.
That's doable. I don't care. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your budget is. I don't care if you don't see eye to eye with ownership. The ownership is not giving you the right pool to kind of pull from financially. But that is doable in professional sports. And that's doable, I think, for the Pirates. I could see if it was the 20 millions, if it was the Luis Roberts,
yes.
You would balk at that. But the 2.8, you could make something happen. And that's the job of being the general manager, is to get creative with what you do have to work with. And don't sit here and tell us that you don't have to work with, you don't have $3 million to work with.
Right. And
you
do. And if, let's just say you don't. I think you do. But let's just say you don't. Okay, have you seen what some of these relievers are going for? I don't love the idea, but I think if you got rid of an Aroldis Chapman and his prorated $10.5 million, so you get some salary off the books, so you can add a $2.8 million player, okay, now you're actually saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And you could trade Aroldis Chapman if you wanted to. I don't want them to. I just want them to add $2.8 million in salary. I think that that's doable. I think the problem we got going on here isn't that the Pirates don't want to spend incrementally more money at the deadline. I think it's that Ben Cherington is balking at giving up any prospects that he values. Mm-hmm. I think that's the issue. And I think Ben Cherington's now been an issue for a while. And I'm not going to full on set the guy on fire until tomorrow evening if he hasn't made a trade. But just think about this lineup that they threw out yesterday. And some people want to put it all on the owner. Connor Joe, in year five of a general manager, is batting third. You got Josh Palacios, Michael A. Taylor, Jared Triolo, G1 Bay, Yasmani Grandal. Those are the guys, and God bless them for getting the win yesterday. And all those guys had their hand in the victory.
Yeah.
Alika Williams, that's your lineup? You had two good hitters in your lineup yesterday. In year five, that can't all be on the owner.
No.
I'm sorry. It just can't. Especially not when the last general manager pushed a lot of buttons at or around the deadline. Like, people want to conveniently leave that out of Pirates history. They want to talk about when Neil Walker got shipped out of town and how frustrating that was and how the team was dismantled out of 2015. Those things happened. That was real. But just as real were the Wandy Rodriguez deals and all the other ones that I detailed earlier. At the deadline, the Pirates have been fairly active when they've been in contention. Now they're not. It's the same owner. Mm-hmm. What's changed? Mm-hmm. The general manager. Now, maybe there's an organizational philosophy deal going on here where they don't think they're as good as maybe they are. Like, maybe the front office doesn't believe in this team as much as the fans believe in this team.
But Dunning told us that. I mean, he spoke.
Well, there's that.
I mean,
you're right.
Came from the mouth.
He put his name on our goal is 100% to make the playoffs. You're right about that.
So, what other message are we? I mean, what other message needs to be said?
And that makes me feel like it's even more on Cherington,
right?
Because that's a great pull by you. It's rubber stamped by the owner, and then you see a Rosarena goes to Seattle for the 14th and 15th best prospects in their system. Not a cash thing. He has security here, I think, Cherington, if he just makes an effort. Based on Bob Nutting's comments, if he doesn't get something done, I would feel like I'm on thin ice. So go do it. Like, what's the problem in going and trying? And one of your prospects goes off and performs well for the Marlins or for Tampa or for the A's or for Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So what? Go for it. I don't think this town, and I'm speaking as a Pirates fan wearing a Paul Skeens jersey right now, I don't think this town needs a trade that works. Sad as that is to admit, I think we just need a trade or two.
An attempt.
Yes.
Yes.
Just try. My mom was never mad at me if I brought home C's if she saw that I was staying up doing my homework. It was the C's that I got whenever I was slacking off that would piss her off.
Mm-hmm.
Just put forth an effort. And right now, it's looking like when you get the 14th and 15th best prospects, like, I know I keep harping on this, to Seattle, to Tampa for Rosarena, it feels like the full, honest-to-gosh effort isn't being put in here. It's frustrating. Very frustrating. And I knew this was going to happen. Here's a text. You guys are sounding like company shills, covering for a cheap owner, deflecting it onto a handcuffed GM. Like, I don't know how you can argue with the past when they've been close before. They haven't spent a ton of money, but they've added at the deadline. And now you've got Skeens. You've got Keller, who was great again yesterday. You've got one of the best pitching staffs in the National League. And the only thing that's changed is the general manager, and I'm supposed to put it all on the owner. That's the easy way out, man.
Right.
That's lowest common denominator stuff. I'm sure there are other radio stations you turn on today, and it's all going to be the owner. That's not always right. In the offseason, and they don't go out and add a Cody Bellinger or a Reese Hoskins, or you don't try to get a Shelby Miller at $14 million bucks, you can talk about the owner till the cows come home. I'm down with that. But at the deadline, you're talking about adding $2.65 million it is for Randy Arozarena. That's not, to me, the owner saying, I can't pay that money. It's just not. Because we've seen in the past, they have gone after guys at the deadline. 412-928-9370. I hope they make a deal, because this is what, it's just nauseating to me. And
you hope, what's your honest feel?
I don't feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good about it. What are the names that are out there right now? Yandy Diaz or, I mean, you're not going to get Luis Robert because that one I'll meet you on. Like, they're not going to wind up paying this guy $20 million
right,
a year.
Right.
Like, they're not going to do that. And if you want to crush them for that, okay, fine. That's fine. That's fine because they could and they probably won't. But who's left? A lot of the players that we had earmarked potentially to Pittsburgh, like the Jazz Chisholms of the world, they all got dealt, and they all got dealt for relative pennants. So, I don't feel good. Do you feel good?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Could have acted on this a lot sooner, before crunch time. Could have gotten in front of everything, and they didn't.
That's the other thing.
They definitely could have gotten in front of everything.
Arozarena's played two games. Puck comes in and pitches in two games in this series because Arizona's been active at the deadline. He struck out the side yesterday. You've got players that have already been able to help these teams in the race. Two games of Arozarena, maybe you win the series in Arizona. You're probably not winning game two, but you had a 3-0 lead, and how many opportunities? I think 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position in game one. You lose by one run. What if you have Arozarena for that game with no Brian Reynolds, with Rowdy Tellez getting hurt? You probably need one more bat and you could win that game. And so not only have you not acted, and it looks like you're probably not going to act, but you could have already helped your team win a series. And maybe you're one game back of a playoff spot right now. It's all very frustrating. More on this as we go forward in the show. Neil Walker is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We've got Dan Zangrilli at 9:35. Are you optimistic? Or are you pessimistic about Ben Cherington making a trade here? And do you put it more on Ben Cherington or Bob Nutting? 412-928-9370. You can also text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ton of football on today's show as well. The Russ Wilson injury, it tells us something. And it might not be what you think. We'll get into that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, you know, we were doing a sled push thing and just got a little tweaked it a little bit, so you know, just working hard, and just sometimes things happen. But the good news is that I feel good, and we'll get there when the time. And the good thing is I'm getting a lot of the mental reps and throwing stuff on the side and in post practice and all that as well.
If this was a game day, could you go in?
If there's a game, I'm definitely playing.
Okay.
So there you have it. That was Russell Wilson after day two, talking about his calf injury.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the injury report. It's brought to you by Shendorovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Seems to be that Russell practiced tomorrow. First day of pads. That is the expectation internally. That's my expectation. Is that your read on the situation?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Russ should be back. Now, there have been players that have had minor calf injuries that have turned into bigger calf problems. Victor Cruz, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow. I do think they've been right to take it easy on Russ. Now, according to reports, he's been out at night working out with Jalen Warren and Najee Harris, which I also like as a leader and just keeping the guy fresh. Dan Graziano of ESPN, he reported this. He said, Fields definitely has work to do to catch Wilson in the race for the starting job, but the Steelers are open-minded about his ability to do so. The important thing to keep in mind here is that the Steelers have no prior connection to either of these quarterbacks and no compelling financial commitment that would lead them to favor one over the other. End quote. I actually think as long as Russ Wilson's calf doesn't explode, that this is the best possible thing for the Steelers. They believe in Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. He doesn't need to practice without pads.
No.
They feel like what they have in this guy is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw it in minicamp. They saw it in OTAs. This is just an opportunity for Justin Fields to show what he learned and to how he can advance. So I don't think this is a bad thing at all for the Steelers if, of course, it does not get worse for Russ. I also think that this shows you just how much faith they have in Russell as that guy in the pole position. Like, if they really needed to see it out of Russ, they might have pushed him a little bit earlier.
I mean, I said this while you were out. Like, this is probably their ideal situation. They knew that Russ was dealing with an injury after pushing a sled, which we can, I mean, we don't really need to talk about, but it's ridiculous that he was pushing a sled.
Oh, you think so?
It was ridiculous. What does he need to push a sled for?
I said that in a combative manner. That's not how I meant that to come out. I meant it to go like this. Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, like sarcastically.
I didn't mean it to say, oh, you really think so?
I thought you were like asking. I'm like, oh, really? Yes. It's ridiculous that he was pushing a sled during a conditioning drill.
So you do think that was stupid?
Very stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, what does a quarterback need to push a sled for?
I agree. I just didn't know what football guy thought. Because me, not football guy, even though I love football, thought, yeah, that seems pretty dumb.
Very dumb.
Okay.
Very, very dumb. And the crazy thing okay, let's rewind. The crazy thing about it is they fired their strength and conditioning staff to hire a new one that was better and more up to the times, and then this was what happened. So there's that. But I said last week that this is the situation. I think that they almost orchestrated the situation. Like, knowing that Russell Wilson's calf, yes, he is injured, but milking it because, like they've said, they don't need to see that much out of Russell Wilson, but they do need to see a lot out of Justin Fields. This is their actual evaluation time of Justin Fields, and catching him off guard was probably the biggest point of all of this. It's knocking on his door at 6 a.m. if you're Arthur Smith and saying, hey, Russ is dealing with an injury. Here's the ball. Run the offense today. You're the man. And it's like, if you're Justin Fields, you're like, oh, shoot. Okay, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to get every opportunity. He's not just running the plays with the ones. He's not just, you know, going out there and throwing passes and being efficient. He is showing what he is capable of if he would be the future quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can see that stuff right now. We've said it 1,000 times. Do not harp on, do not put too much onus on preseason games with quarterbacks because we got burned last year by Kenny. Don't do that. But the little things like this, you can pay attention to. You could definitely pay attention to, and this is exactly what the Steelers probably wanted. Now, they don't want Russell Wilson to be hurt long-term, like you said, Crowley.
But it's an opportunity.
But it is a huge opportunity for them. It's a huge opportunity for Justin Fields, and it is an opportunity for Russell Wilson to kind of sit back and say, do I really need to go out there right now? What do I need to prove?
I like it.
Me too.
I love it, actually, because I don't think they were going to really give Justin Fields all that much of an opportunity.
He wasn't going to get the real opportunity. He's going to get one reps. He would, but he's going to get more two reps.
Yes.
He's going to get the one reps, and it's going to be cut in half. It's not going to be like he's going to be the ones the whole entire practice. They'd split it, probably, at some point in training camp. Now, there is no question. You are getting every one rep with the one offensive line, with the one running backs, with the one tight ends, and with the one wide receivers. Figure out how you want to approach this and let everybody get on the same page with you and let's see how you operate.
Yes.
Let's see it. And from what I've been hearing, not bad.
He's getting better, too, from what you hear.
And that's how camp goes.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there, you're shaky, you got nerves, your anxiety, and it's like, okay, first, and especially if you're him, you know, new team, all this stuff. It's getting better. It's getting better as it goes on, and this is a great situation for the Steelers for somewhat the present, but more for moving on later on in the years.
The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. I don't know that it's exactly how they drew it up, but the second you hear, oh, there's a calf twinge.
Well,
okay, we're not putting you out there.
You're good.
Yep. Not until day one contact at the earliest. But you just sit down and you do your thing. You work out on the sideline and maybe do some stuff, throw the ball around in the evening, whatever. But don't get out there. Don't stress it out anymore because let's see what we got here.
Mental reps
in Justin
too.
Fields. It does make me think, though, that Russell Wilson is the clear number one. The clear number one. Because if you needed to be shown something by Russ, I think they would not be careful with him. I think it's twofold. I think it's, oh, we believe Russ is going to be good with us. And two, well, this just gives us a chance now to see what Justin Fields can bring to the table.
Well, also, if Russ would have a sense of this, because he's been around a long time, if he felt that it was a true competition, there's no way he'd be sitting. He'd go to trainers and be like, nah, like, I'm good.
There's also that.
He just said that in the interview. Mm-hmm. If we had to play tomorrow, oh, yeah, I'll play.
He has no fear whatsoever he's going to lose his job.
No.
If he did, you're right, he'd play.
Yep, he'd be practicing.
You can tell by what the Steelers are doing here, and you can tell by what Russell Wilson has said in the way that he is operating here, that he is pretty much entrenched. Now, that goes against Graziani's report. I'm sure they are, quote-unquote, open to it.
For sure.
They'd blow us away. But I think Fields would really have to blow them away. And I also think, you said it already, they have to believe that what happens on these practice fields ain't gospel because of what happened last year with Pickett. So Fields would have to be so above and beyond their expectation of him. He would have to be so above and beyond what they think Russell Wilson could give them to unseat Russ. That's what all this is telling me right now. I want to talk a little bit about George Pickens when we come back. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it last week. I think that's a major, major storyline, but maybe not for the reason people believe. So we'll get to that coming up next. We've also got the Golf Rewind with Jeff Hathorn. Going to get into George Pickens' dust-up with Zach Azzani, Steelers wide receiver coach, coming up in a few minutes here. First, though, it's the Weekend Golf Rewind with Jeff Hathorn, presented by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. If you're not being fit outdoors, you're not being fit. Good morning to you, Jeff.
A great name in golf, Adam. Jonathan Vegas. He birdies 18 to win the PGA event in Minnesota. It's his first win since 2017. He won despite shoulder pain that he called a nightmare. And he said all he did was just avoid a big mistake. And Neil Shipley, he finished 37th at 7 under, three straight rounds to end his tournament in the 60s. This week it's Olympic golf. KJ Choi wins his first senior major, the Senior Open Championship at 10 under. Angel Cabrera was fifth. This week is the Women's Open Championship. The U.S. Senior Women's Open is at Fox Chapel this week, Thursday through Sunday. Tickets are affordable. And what's cool about this event, you can walk with the players down the fairways during the tournament, which is cool. You could kind of get their perspective, what they're saying to their caddies. I mean, you could walk right with them. Today is the Tam O'Shanter Open in West Middlesex. You know, and if you're looking for a new course to play, it's about an hour north of Pittsburgh. John Cairns does a great job. Some fun holes to play there. And you know who I'd buy a round of golf for right now? Joey freaking Bart.
Joey freaking Bart.
Joey Bart.
Right? Or Jared freaking Triolo. They saved the season yesterday. It was so awesome.
Jeff, thank you for the Weekend Golf Rewind. We will talk to you tomorrow. We will talk to you on Thursday. And not to put you on the spot here, but when we do talk to you on Thursday, will the Pirates have made a move or moves?
Yes.
All right, that does make me feel
optimistic.
Better.
I'm okay. Staying optimistic, boys. Yesterday got me fired up.
Joey freaking Bart!
Right? Let's go.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. Joey Bart?
Joey freaking Bart!
Freaking Bart.
Freaking Bart. That's a hell of a you-know-what missile that he hit.
Crushed it.
He absolutely annihilated that ball. I was so frustrated when big boy Rowdy Tellez hit that double because I thought, hey, this is the Pirates. He's going to get stranded at second. But in just about any other ballpark, including PNC Park, that thing's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I was prepared to be really, really mad. It's a hell of a victory. And Jeff says it saved the season. We talked about that. But I scream hot takes a lot of the time into the microphone. Jeff is, he's grounded. He's a reporter. That's why we send him the things, like Steelers camp. When he says it saved their season, I buy it. So, speaking of buying, get out there, Ben Charrington, and get the job done. Much more on the Pirates. We've got Neil Walker. We've got Dan Zangrilli at 9 and 9:35, respectively. But we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week together. I know that you were able to address it. But this whole George Pickens, Zach Azani thing, where they got into it a little bit, folks saying that George Pickens is a problem, that seems to be my takeaway. Is a lot of people onto social media, Dorn. Oh, this George Pickens, he's a jerk, da-da-da-da-da. I love it. I love it. There's a reason why they got a new wide receiver coach. There's a reason why they shipped Deontay Johnson out of town. They did not like the makeup of the room. They did not like the attitude of the room. I like that the Steelers hired a coach that's not going to tiptoe around one of the few star players that this team might have on offense. He gave it right to him. And that was the book on Azani coming in, was he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. I love it. Either deal with it, grow up as a man, grow up as a player, or you're not going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for very long. So I didn't take it as, oh, George Pickens a bad guy. He got coached hard. He's in the heat of it. It's hot. He's practicing his ass off. And so he gets into it with the coach. It happens all the time. I don't know that it had been happening before in the Steelers locker room. I like it.
Yeah, he's holding him accountable, Azani is. And like you said, Azani was a no-nonsense guy. And, you know, whenever you're in situations like that and you're George Pickens, you got to realize that Azani's trying to get the absolute best out of you. Like, his job is on the line. So whenever you start understanding the dynamics of at least pro football and pro sports and business, nobody is trying to tear you down because their job is on the line. He is trying to get the absolute best out of you. I just was upset last week because I feel like people are searching for reasons to make George Pickens look like a malcontent. And this is not one of those situations. And I even said, whenever you're out, I was like, I'm not here for this stuff. I'm not here for headlines of George Pickens and, you know, George Pickens being a bad guy, George Pickens not doing this, George Pickens acting up, George Pickens becoming a cancer in the locker room. Like, nah, that's not one of these situations. And let's stop looking for situations to tear down George Pickens. Now, we'll sit here and we'll critique his game and say that he possibly isn't a number one wide receiver. I'll sit there and say that all day until he proves us wrong. Absolutely. But I am not going to go searching for things to tear George Pickens down whenever there's situations like this of things like this happening all the time.
Yeah, we just saw it with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. They got into it on the sideline. Aaron Rodgers can be prickly. Garrett Wilson, a young player, that's what happens.
Yes, all the time.
You participated in many a training camp. I sat and sweated, stood really, and watched many a training camp. Stuff like this happens all the time. I don't put this in the same bucket, and I look for these things. I don't put this in the same bucket as George Pickens deleting all his Steelers stuff off of social media.
All right.
Or commenting or liking things that people post on social media that denigrates Kenny Pickett. That, to me, is different than this. When you're getting coached, when you're in the heat of it, and it's hot, and you're battling your tail off, it's one of the first days of camp, and you're trying to get your butt in shape, and you wind up yelling at a coach who's yelling at you, happens all the time. And I happen to think that there's a possibility that if he were coached that way last year, that maybe the social media stuff doesn't happen. I don't know. But you coach his ass hard, you get him quality quarterback play. I don't think George Pickens is going to be an issue.
No.
I think it's a necessity. I don't think this is one of those guys that you're hands off on. I think he needs guidance.
All day.
I think he needs leadership.
All season.
Yep.
From, I mean, literally the other day until the last game of the season. And you will get the most out of him. He may not like it at first. He may not like it at times. But at the end of the day, he's going to look back and be like, thank goodness that this is the situation I was in, that this guy and this team got the most out of me, because there's so much untapped potential that George Pickens has. And that's why, like you said, to start this, they brought in a guy like Azani to get the most out of George Pickens, and to be a number one receiver.
And if he's going to act a fool at some point this year or pops up a couple of different times, I do expect him to get the Deontay Johnson treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ain't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not suffering fools like that right now. And he's going to command, if he has a good season, a lot of money, a ton of money. And you don't want to give that to a malcontent. I'm far from selling all my shares on George Pickens because he got into it with a coach. Like, that's just going to happen. It just is. And I think it's the best thing for him. All right, coming up next, four members now going to be inducted into the Steelers Hall of Honor. We'll get into that a little bit. We've got Mark Caboli coming up at 8 o'clock. If the Pirates make a trade, you'll hear about it here first. And all of our trade deadline coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Mark Caboli from Steelers camp. He's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll let you know what's going on the ground in Latrobe with Caboli coming up at 8 o'clock. Steelers announced four new members of the Hall of Honor. They'll be inducted officially during the season. Dick LeBeau, Jason Gildon, Willie Parker, and Casey Hampton. Casey Hampton now looks like half of himself.
Yes, he does.
All deserving guys. One player I feel like they passed over here was Joey Porter. Joey Porter, who was instrumental in the 05 team winning the Super Bowl, and what he did in particular against the Colts in that divisional round game. I can quibble with him or Jason Gildon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gildon left as the Steelers' all-time sack leader, so I guess tie goes to that statistic. But I think they got all four guys right.
Absolutely.
Anything stick out to you with that?
Just how important an unsung hero Casey Hampton really is, if you go back and those defensive lines, and the reason why the linebackers and the Farriers of the world and the Foots of the world, the reason why that they were able to do the things they did was because Casey Hampton was so big and was so strong and clogged up those gaps. Like, guys like him never get the praise, but if you go back and actually watch the games, you know, in time, you see how they are so instrumental to success. And he was to a lot of the Steelers' success, Casey Hampton was.
Underrated?
Very, very underrated.
Maybe the most underrated.
I mean, the guy was a dog.
Five
game in,
Pro
game
Bowls?
Out. Yes.
I remember they played.
We never talk about him.
This would have been before your time, right? With Arian Foster?
No, I was there with Arian.
When the whole outside zone Kubiak deal went on?
Yeah.
And the Steelers' defense, just, you couldn't run on them.
Mm-hmm.
You could not. And I remember a game in Houston. I don't know if you might have been there.
I think so, yeah.
And Casey's just getting his legs cut and cut and cut and cut. And I went, okay, it's over. It's over. But back when you would play the 3-4 a lot, not just 20% of the time or whatever it is now, he was as good at that as anybody, like, ever. I mean, ever. I mean, he was so, so good. And the counting stats were never there for Casey Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had 9 sacks in his entire career, because that's just not what he was asked to do.
Right.
But you had to double-team him on every single play. Absolutely underrated. And I'm happy to see Willie Parker got in. I heard Jeff Hathorn do a show this weekend, and he was talking to former Steelers GM Kevin Colbert about Willie Parker, and the front office was really nonplussed on Willie. And scout Dan Rooney came in and said, I saw this guy in high school. I know he was not great in college. He had a bunch of fumbling problems. He can play. And he really went to bat for Willie Parker. And the rest is history. He has the 75-yard run in the Super Bowl and has an all-time place in Steelers lore. He had a great career.
Yeah.
Albeit not a super long one. He had a great career.
Yeah, during his time, great career. And I knew somebody that knew Willie Parker when I was in high school. And they gave Willie Parker my number, and he would reach out to me all the time, like in high school. Like, think about being like 17 years old and being in Pittsburgh and being a running back, and then Willie Parker's the running back. Like, he would reach out to me all the time just to say what's up and see how
really
I was all the time. And I was like, I mean, as a kid, you know how awesome that was to me, like every day, like to walk into high school and Willie Parker shows up on your phone, and then he does what he does. That was my senior year, does what he does in the Super Bowl. I'm like, Like, that's motivation for me. Like, I mean, every day. And he was so gracious. He didn't have to do that. He didn't even know me.
Man, I heard great things about Willie.
Yes.
The guy. Like, great things about Willie. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is super cool.
All the time. Like, out of nowhere, too. Like, he would initiate the conversation. Like, I wouldn't hit him up like, hey, Willie, what's up? How's it going? Like, no, he'd ask me that.
Man.
Yes.
And that's a great guy to do that because he split carries with two other guys at Carolina at the end, goes undrafted, and then for 3 years with the Steelers was as good as it gets. He had 1,200 yards, 1,494, 1,316. He had 13 touchdowns in 2006. Fast Willie. I'll never forget that 05 Colts game that I brought up already. And I was watching in my aunt and uncle's house, and my one uncle kept singing that song, Little Willie, Willie won't go home. And they did. He was the original run the wheels off him guy. And I remember him breaking his leg in that game against St. Louis.
Yeah.
The same night LaVance Fields hit that shot against Duke at the Garden.
Right.
And he broke his leg, and that was pretty much it for Willie. But for those 3 years, man, he was really, really good.
Yes, he was.
And you think about 05. You hand it to the bus, and you hand it to Willie.
Thunder and lightning. Like, legit, thunder and lightning.
You can't come up with two players playing the same position that look any different and play any different than those two.
And then, obviously, Dick LeBeau, and, you know, he was D coordinator when Rao was in Tennessee. So, and, like, you would never know. Like, he was the nicest human being I've ever, like, met in football in my life. Like, you would never know he was as successful as he is.
Just as a player and as a coordinator.
As a player, as a coordinator, and as a person. Like, you just, like, he was just unbelievable to be around. I mean, I think that I don't even have to go any farther because I think people know how important Dick LeBeau is to the success of the franchise of the Steelers.
The quintessential would run through a wall for that guy.
Absolutely.
You hear anybody on those 05, 08 defenses talk about Dick LeBeau, they're talking about family.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Not only those Steelers defenses were a cheat code, man, because you had the Aaron Smiths and the Casey Hamptons of the world and Brett Kiesel. And you
think
had
about how big those
great were. Edge rushers. Oh, my God. That's back when you were allowed to play defense.
Right.
And not only did they have really good players at just about every position, and then they had the best guy calling defensive plays in the league. One of the best ever. So, well, they're talented, but at least their scheme sucked. No. They had it both. And that 08 defense, I don't think, gets enough credit for being one of the best of all time. You hear it, 85 Bears. You hear about the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense. You hear about the no-fly zone in Seattle. About what Denver's defense did in 2015. The Steelers of the 70s. The Purple People Eaters with Minnesota. That Steelers 08 defense is one of the great defenses of all time.
Yeah.
First in points allowed. First in pass defense. Second in rush defense. And then they took the ball away more than any team in football. That defense was bonkers good.
Oof.
And Dick LeBeau had a ton, clearly, to do with that. We got Mark Caboli joining us next on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He'll give us a training camp report. That's next. We'll get more into the Pirates at the trade deadline a little bit later on in the show. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 87.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.